can see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Hey, good evening. Welcome to the Watching for Jesus Bible study for tonight. Oh, we got another hot one tonight, I hope. Hope. My name is Thomas Gambo. I'm the host of this Bible study tonight. A little while ago, it was a broadcast. Now it's a Bible study. Those of you returned, you glutton for punishment. Family, tonight, I'm going to talk about the rapture, end time events, give you an overview of what we're yet to expect. Now, we're getting close to it. But it seems that I don't like to be negative. I really don't. I'm a positive thinking kind of person and all that. But, you know, the tribulations are not positive. The positive thing about them is that means that Jesus is coming sooner than later. But right now, you know, this is preparation and practice for the worst time this earth has ever experienced, ever in the history of mankind. When's it going to happen? That's the key to it. Nobody knows. Nobody knows. Everybody wants to find out, but you're not going to find out. It ain't going to happen. People are making money off of it, making CDs and DVDs and whatever. And not a one of them can tell you what's going to happen. They can put a whole book out, have CDs on the site, whatever, do lectures forever. You'll never know when it's going to happen. In most cases, unfortunately, it's wrong theology. Because the rule is that there's an effort to try to fool people, bring them in, and I talked about this earlier today in a broadcast about disclosure. It's more significant than people can even imagine. An infinitesimal number of churches are even beginning to talk about aliens, which are not, there's no such thing as aliens, as they're fallen angels, and they're real. They don't, churches don't talk about demons anymore. The demons are what causes the problems in this world. Drugs of certain types opens up certain portals in the body, allowing specific demons to come inside. It's based on a frequency level, a frequency of hate, of lust, of when you got on a radio and you're trying to find a radio station, right? Here's the best way I can explain it. And you've got a really good radio, you know, a shortwave or something or another. And you got, man, you got AM and FM and I don't know whatever M it's got on it. And so you're finding every station you want, whatever you want, hundreds of them, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. How is that on one little old box that's got all these wires? How's that work? I mean, how in the world can you get all those stations on this little old box, you know, that whatever? It's because it's frequency. Frequencies. That's pretty basic. But in any case, the frequency vibration changes are massive in this world that we live in. Explain. Like molecules and atoms and photons and all this vibrating together makes things physical. If it's on the same frequency range that we are, you can touch it, feel it, smell it, whatever. But if it advances beyond 186,000 miles per second, a frequency shaking vibration, it'll disappear. You can't see it because it's moving in a different space. It gets into Einstein and the theory of relativity, equals mass times speed of light squared, etc. But it's based on 186,000 miles per second. So if you were to go, say, increase a frequency by using energy to, say, for example, a million miles per second or 500,000 miles per second, you're not going to be able to see it. It's there, but it's not in your dimensional capacity. It's not in your, it's gone, but not really. Is that clear as mud? Anyway, so that's how God has the principalities set up. That's how the demons have different realms that they work in. So my lust or hate or love or emotion causes frequency changes in your body. They have actually been able to synthesize this change to affect the body and how you react using ELF transmissions, electromagnetic lower frequency transmissions, like 6.6 hertz of energy, causes the individual, if he's targeted, to feel depressed. If they target the individual, the house, the town, the state, with this cloud of ELF transmission from Rockaway Center, call it that, HARP, the towers, okay, and they can identify you through microwave or through your DNA signature or a implanted microchip. You got it? And they delivered 11 hertz to that individual, that town, that flash mob, whatever. It causes riotous behavior, murderous behavior, anger. And you don't know why. Okay. So your demons are like little foot soldiers. And they operate on frequency basis. I'm heterosexual. I'm not homosexual. I can't judge them because they got my own sins that I've had to deal with. But homosexuality is not one of them. Let me tell you that. But I got other sins that, you know, it's all equal. You know, I can't say, well, you know, I lie, cheat, and steal. But you're homosexual. You're worse. Don't work that way. Huh. If I steal a dime because I just want to steal it, I might as well steal $1 million. You see, it's not the value of what you're stealing. It makes it bad. It's the fact I wanted to steal it makes it bad. The amount doesn't, it's not the important thing. The important thing is it's matters of the heart. Well, he only took a dime. Well, yeah, but he stole it. That's the bottom line. That's what God looks at. The intention of the heart. Not the amount. Not the egregious lie versus a white lie. What? You got color-coded lies? No. It's a fact you lied, period. End of story. We'll keep you out of heaven. Now, which brings me, ironically enough, it brings me to a, actually, I received people send me stuff all the time, to a report I got just a little while ago, brings it to mind. As a principal, 2 days ago, writes an adorable letter to the tooth fairy for a little girl. Okay. A modern day fairy tale. A principal elementary school in Langley, British Columbia, was a third grader's knight in shining armor after she lost her tooth in a school playground. It started when an 8-year-old named there lost her third tooth during class, and knowing how important it was to preserve the tooth for the tooth fairy. Avery's teacher made her a necklace to keep her tooth safe and sound and until she is able to put it under a pillow. However, when she is busy playing during recess, she tripped and lost her tooth necklace in the dirt. And despite search efforts of Avery, her friends and teachers are unable to find her tooth. When I tripped and lost it, I lost it forever. I looked a couple of times and I still haven't found it because the tooth looks like rocks. She lost her tooth. But then's when her principal, Chris Wire, stepped in. Dealt with it before. Chris knew what to do. Wire knew what to do. Good old Chris, Superman. He sent her home with his official school letter and reads, "Dear Tooth Fairy, it's been a while since you received a letter from me, so I hope you are well. Avery lost her tooth in Wednesday, April 9th, at our school. She placed her tooth necklace and went outside and tripped on the steps and lost the tooth. She's upset about it, and so I told her that I'd written a letter to you before, and you accepted this in place of a tooth. Wasn't that nice? Happy flying. W.C. We're principal. A principal. Is there a tooth fairy? Is there really a tooth fairy? You know, the writer of this story, when we're posted the letter in the school Facebook page so everybody can see it, her mom said she didn't expect the principal to go above and beyond. He really took something really small, made this very memory for her that will last forever. It's a small gesture, but means everything. We hear so many terrible stories every day. It's nice to hear this lie. This story, the small little story, the little gesture. Whatever happened about telling the truth? Well, anyway, because of inflation, I know when I was a kid, my tooth fairy was a cheapskate. Only gave me a quarter. Dog nabbit. And here, this girl got $5. Oh, I guess it's because it's 40 years ago or something. You get my point here? So there's a tooth fairy. What happens when she becomes an adult and realizes there's no tooth fairy? When you start talking about God, and they say, well, yeah, God's just like a tooth fairy. Oh, now you see. Now, I know maybe some of you might think I'm going overboard on this, but family, this is how Satan works on the children in Ouija boards. Santa Claus. Is there a Santa Claus? And if you say no, and then you say to your one-year-old, well, Santa Claus brought it, you lied. Now we can get over on that. We can say, well, God's got a sense of humor. But lying is one of the sins, right? He sent his son here to die and suffer on the cross because we lied. Now, we can say, well, God, I know you got a sense of humor forgiving your son's life. But this is a small lie. You know, it's no big deal. You know, it's really for his own good to keep him happy and all that. So there's a Santa Claus. Well, I got news for you. Christmas and Easter, as proven by the Bible, are pagan holidays. Easter is pagan. I really hate telling you all that sometimes because I know I'm a killjoy, but Easter is mentioned only in the King James Bible. And the King James Bible talks about Easter in Acts 12, verse 4. And it lists Easter as the time they bring Peter in to go. As Herod's going to take him out, kill him, imprison him. Passover's already gone. He says he waits to Easter to bring Peter to please the crowd. Peter is not the Pope. Was never the Pope. Impossible to be the Pope. He can't be a Pope not be in Rome. He is never in Rome. So, and Peter was married too. So in any case, you know, what can I say? You know, it's a lie is a lie is a lie. Have I told lies in my past? Yeah. I repented for those lies, and I regret them too. But when I got serious about being born again, all this started coming to my mind. Wow. You know, just how much of a sense of humor. That's how we get over on God. We say, or we don't get over on him, but we placate our sins by saying, oh, God's got a sense of humor. He knows me. Chuckle, chuckle, wink, wink, elbow, elbow. I don't think so. Not when his son died for our sins. I don't think he sees that as joking. That's why, me personally, I mean, y'all do what you want, but I'm personally against evangelists that are comedians. Everybody has a laugh, but they laugh at whose expense? You know, when people go to church, they want to receive knowledge about salvation or repentance, or they want to talk to somebody about what they've done, or they want to worship God, not sit there and laugh at it and mock it. Well, Tom, it's the only place we can find clean jokes. Well, I'm sorry, but it's not about jokes. It's about eternal salvation. You know, that's serious. It's not a joke in matter. You know? Well, I want to talk about the rapture tonight a little bit and end time events. Family hadn't even started yet. Anywhere. Preparation for it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sure has. But Jacob's time, maybe, but Jacob's trouble, but we're not in the first seal yet. You'll know. It's not going to be on TV. It'll be in your front doorstep. Hit the ground running. Lord, we thank you tonight for, Father, this Bible study. Lord, we know these are times that's coming around to us that in these holidays, Father, are being used for other purposes. Father, know that we're to worship you every day. That's why we pray in your name, in the Son, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Our prayers are sent. Lord, we call upon you to forgive us of our sins. We bring them before you in the cross. Lord, to guide us and keep us. Guide us in the right path. Father, bless our families, healing, and any troubles within families to bring them together. Because they can only be brought together through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the healing only through the Holy Spirit. Lord, tonight we call upon you to bring us wisdom and discernment and knowledge tonight, Lord, through the scriptures. And to guide us through this study of the end times events. Father, we can gain knowledge and wisdom about what to look for. Father, we pray for our returning veterans that hear those voices in their head. Lord, we know that's about technology and the psychotropic drugs that opens up parts of their bodies that allows this possession. And Father, we call upon you to silence those voices, to destroy the technology that creates it. And Father, to move those demons out. Father, to set up divine appointments that they can be witness to and to give them the courage to forgive themselves of anything they've done. Father, so they can forgive, so you can forgive them. And Father, forgive us when we fall away. And convict us to put us on the right track. That's why, Father, we pray tonight for this Bible study. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You know, I've been doing this broadcasting. It's not my expertise. I'm in anti-terrorism, physical security, self-defense, martial arts, blah, blah, blah. Firearms training, all that kind of stuff. And my mind wanders, and I guess God just kind of figured, well, I gotta lock him down. And so he did, sent me to Mount Airy, and started broadcasting what I know. And this takes up 24 hours of my day, just about 18 hours at least. I take some time to drink coffee at a restaurant every now and then. But I'm retired, but I don't make anything off this. I really don't want to. You know, I mean, I could write a book and all that kind of thing and whatever. But, you know, and I was going to. I got to make up for it. And actually, it's on my website, but I just put it there. Y'all can read it if you want. It's a timeline, 200 pages, typed, single space, of the events. I had to use it for a model. Because when I realized in 2006, 2005 and 2006 about this conspiracy, I had to have something to go by. I said, this is unbelievable. This is massive. So I had to start putting things in. So I ended up with a timeline, actually, which I could turn to a book if I wanted to, but I don't really care. And I'll tell you why. Because I started writing it. I put a title up there and all this stuff. And I said, wait a minute. All right, God's going to take care of me. Do I trust God or not? And then I said, well, you know, if I come up with a book and CDs and all that sort of thing going on, and I know that when I worked for, but when I broadcasted another network, they did require funds to have to, as I found out later, required funds to actually operate airtime or whatever, you know, and I finally learned what that was at TME. That's another story. And so, unfortunately, I got involved in money transactions and all that kind of thing, and I just said to the sponsors, you take care of everything. That was dumb on my part, but anyway, all I want to do is my broadcast. That's all I cared about. But all I want to do, only book I want to promote, is a King James Bible. And I'm sure you can find someone to buy somewhere. I don't know. Bookstores, order one, whatever. But the idea is to get one. I don't sell them. I don't want to sell them. I don't want to deal with it. I just want to preach it. That's it. And so, family, the King James Bible, Cambridge edition, irrefutably, is the only true word of God on the face of this planet. And the fact that it is, and no one can prove otherwise, and yet they claim they can, is cowardly. Because they can't do it. And then I tell you a little trick. I call it laying a trout line. Especially to ministers. And I'll say, well, it's a good thing that you trust the King James Bible, that it's the only true word of God in the face of the planet. I lay the trout line. I wait for them to say, well, I love it too, but, you know, and here we go. I said, I got you. Because they can't agree, you know, if they're on the same side, because that is the only true word of God, irrefutably. And it's important because of Revelation 22, 18 and 19. It's clear. And every other Bible, literally, is corrupted. Missing scriptures, missing words, and this is by design. Just like the tooth fairy is there to lead people away from God, to trust in some fairy and tell a lie is a tricky way to get you to lie to your kids. The New Age name tied the fact it's Lucifer, Satan, in the New Age religion is Sanat Kumara. S-A-N-A-T. Ah, an anagram for Satan. Mm-hmm. Well, how about Santa Claus? See, 25th of December is the birthday of Mithra for Mithraism. Tammuz is on the 24th of December. Man, Christmas has got nothing to do with Jesus. We've been told it has all these years. It's not. Neither does Easter. Man, we sunrise service. Oh, I've talked about that before. It's not a day that you celebrate his resurrection. It's not a day you celebrate his birth. What you're doing is celebrating his birth, done. Celebrating his resurrection, yes. But they've got us doing it on a day, on a particular day, on all these holidays. And so what the reality is, and this is documented in their alchemy, in their planning, what's documented, the reality of these holidays and birthdays and all this sort of thing, the days of the week, is a celebration of these fallen angels each day. A day of the week and establishing a certain major festivals is in relation to the moon. That's where you get your spring equinox and all that sort of thing. Because that energy helps open up portals, allowing demonic entities to come in and out, the demons. By using alchemy, invocation, sacrifice, and that sort of thing. And to a lesser degree in the zodiac. What's your sign, darling? Well, honey, my sign is, all that stuff is real. But this is part of the witchcraft. Astrology. It's against the Bible. I'm sorry, but it is. Family, when I realized this, how deep it was, I don't even read fortune cookies anymore. Now, you may say that's going overboard, but is it really? Because those horoscopes, those seances, those fortune tellers, they can make it come true. And you know how they do it? Because when you have went to a seance, you have given your permission for those demons to act. Use a Ouija board. There you go. Commit adultery. There you go. Take drugs. There you go. That's given permission. Are you ready now? For that frequency to open up for that demon to come inside you and possess you. That's just one or two or three ways. So they established those holidays to bring a strengthening of the spirit of invocation, of chanting. What they don't tell them is about the dead bodies that they produce of children and infants and other sacrifices to make it work. They say that the truth lies behind all invocations. Seances, pentagrams, witchcraft is based upon the power of thought, particularly in, I quote, a telepathic nature, rapport, and aspect. They have a unified invocative thought as a seance. See how they do this? We have a unified invocative thought to the masses. Oh, for goodness sakes. That's a coven having a sacrifice of a child while they do their chanting. This call for what it really is. No frivolous or flowers behind it. It's total evil, what they got. The unified invocative thought is focused, directed thought of the new group of world servers, other demons and fallen angels is what we're talking about here. And what it does is it constitutes, quote, an outgoing stream of energy. That opens up the portals for the group to be possessed. And this will reach, I quote, telepathically, those spiritual beings, demons, it's called what they are, who are sensitive and responsive to such impacts. That's because of the frequency of vibration opens it up. It's powerful, family. And that's why you say the prayers that you say. Now, they call Oh, secondly, they say that, that the establishing of certain uniformity in the world religions and the rituals will aid men everywhere to strengthen each other's work and enhance powerfully the thought currents directed in the waiting spiritual lives. In other words, you ever go and never do it, but you watch seances on TV or whatever, and they say, hold hands. There you go. And when I do the prayers, you've heard me say before, the psychic thought, the prayer chains, that's a prayer chain. How about that, huh? Quote, at present, what this does is enhance powerfully the thought currents directed to the waiting spiritual lives. At present, the Christian religion has its great festivals. The Buddhist keeps a different set of spiritual events, and the Hindu still another list of holy days. In the future world, when organized, all men of spiritual inclination and intention everywhere will keep the same holy days. This will bring about pooling of spiritual resources. The potencies of this will be apparent. Now they say in their planning, in their textbook, The Nature of the Coming Worldwide Festivals in 1978, in their textbook, there will be three such major festivals each year. These will be, and I quote, Illuminati textbook, Signs of Christ by Harold Balliaz. Quote, the Festival of Easter. This is the festival of the risen, living Christ, the teacher of all men and the head of the spiritual hierarchy. He is the expression of the love of God. On this day, the spiritual hierarchy, that's the fallen angels, the demons we're talking about here, which he guides and directs, will be recognized, and the nature of God's love will be emphasized. They're talking about Satan. We're talking about Lucifer's love is what they're talking about. This festival is determined always by the date of the first full moon of spring and the great Western and Christian festival. The second one is the festival of Wesak. That's the festival of the Buddha. Family, that's in May. And they sacrifice children at this thing. And it's big. You have the fallen angels that attend this in incarnated forms. People don't know this. Nobody's talking about it. It's the embodiment of light and the indicator of the divine purpose. Blah, blah, blah. This will be fixed annually in relation to the full moon of May. As is as present the case, it's the Great Eastern Festival. What bothers me is the March of Veterans on the 1st of May. Right about a week or two before this event's supposed to take place. I just pray nothing happens that 1st of May. And then there's the third one, the Festival of Goodwill. This is a festival of the spirit of humanity, aspiring towards God, seeking conformity with the will of God, as it should be the will of Satan, and dedicated to the expression of right human relations. This will be fixed annually in relation to the full moon of June. It will be a day whereon the spiritual and divine nature of mankind will be recognized and blah, 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 blah. It just goes and goes. They integrate the Bible scriptures and so forth in these. And they talk about it in detail that I'm just going to stop there. case closed. There it is. I don't know what to tell y'all. I just told you. You know, this is what the reality is. And this upsets everything that we've been taught. All the way back. I mean, everything's backwards. Is that not what the Bible says? And things are turned around, but you start learning the truth. You start learning the truth about the Sabbath, about 10% tithing, Man, we've been hooked and crooked. Lordy, Lordy, Lordy. In quite a big way. And it's important because we are held responsible. Now, when you go to, you're going to find this really interesting. If not, already mad at me for being a killjoy. But the Bible is way ahead of these people. Bible's way ahead. Let me show you why. When you read the Bible, it clearly says in Colossians 2:16. Man, it's clear as a bell. Colossians 2:16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Now, you had festivals they needed in the Old Testament. But Jesus Christ, when he was born, died and rose again, fulfilled those days. You see, in the Old Testament, yes. New Testament, no. Mark 2:27, the Sabbath was made for man, but not man for the Sabbath. And about this thing about food, eating food and all that, Mark 7:19 says the King James Bible, because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meals. It's okay to eat what you're going to eat. Doesn't mean you go drink poison there, for goodness sakes, but this, you know, can't eat pork because, no, Old Testament's different. Romans 14:5, clear as a bell. In Romans 14:5, it says in the King James Bible, one man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. I'm not making this up. You see? That's interesting. It tells you right there in the scriptures about festivals, holidays. Very important to know. And tooth fairies. Santa Claus. Sanat Kumara. Santa. Sanat. Satan. And anagrams. That's about Christmas. Everything under our noses, you know, and you can check it out on yourself. I mean, it's, and you should. Don't take my word for it. But, family, we're held responsible for these events. And he's going to hold us responsible. You see, that's important to know. Rapture. I know there's probably people yelling at me. I get, you know, this is one of my bad parts. I had to tell you one of my bad parts. Is that sometimes I go on these rabbit trails and I'm getting better at getting back on track. But I head down these little rabbit trails every now and then. There's a lot of rabbit trails, but they're all connected. That's why the rabbit trails, same burrow. I'm heading toward the rapture and to talk about end time events. And I've been speaking about these demons that's not spoke about in the churches. Now, this is what causes a lot of our problems. When I give permission from a seance or a Ouija board or something I'm doing, I'm giving permission to the demon to act. And, he's not preparing. They're not preparing for us to deal with what's really out there. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He is prince of this world. But I come not that, but I am come that they may have life and that they might have it more abundantly, Jesus says. And Peter says, your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. He has demons around you, but you got angels protecting you. Family, if you had glasses that you could see the second heaven and the other realm, the other frequency, the other realm that you can't see normally, man, you'd have a heart attack. To see all the fighting going on around you and being protected by the hedge of God. I don't think people understand that when God removes that protective hedge, what's going to happen to them. They have no idea. But John said, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now, these demons are real. And they operate around you. Demons desire expression. Demons are evil spirits without bodies. Demons had bodies during the flood called Nephilim. Click, click. Bodies were killed in the flood because the bodies of the Nephilim were abominations, therefore became demons cut off from God. He got that connection. And there are different categories. You got lust is one specialty. Anger is one specialty with one frequency. Homosexuality is another. Each one of these is a demon like a frequency. Lying. This is what we have to deal with. So when you plead the blood of Jesus, you're not just saying words. This is biology. It's chemical. It's physics. They long to have expression in this world, the physical world, because they are in spiritual body form. They're like little specks of light. Your soul is placed in the pineal gland in your brain. That's your soul. And because light has, you know, can intermingle with itself, they can occupy the same space. You can understand then why evil spirits were cast out of a man who had no rest and could not be satisfied. That's where addictions come from. It's not from AA. It's not from 12 steps. That's New Age nonsense. That's why nobody really gets out of it. Because those entitled, involved in it, it could be anything. He's a spirit of Satan sent forth to destroy and kill when he could not find expression in a body. He's tormented until he had the aid of seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, was able to re-enter the man and again find expression for hatred and destruction in Matthew 12, verse 43. So, a demon is kind of a personality, a spirit, just like you and I. As you yearn to do good, to speak kind words and music and see flowers and express yourself in every conversation, respond to every impulse of some expression, well, even so, demon spirits yearn to express themselves as well. This is not being taught. But since they have no bodies of their own, they got to wander through the land. Or if their frequency vibrations change, let it set for a second. They go to the abyss. The abyss is the worst place because they have no expression at all and no opportunity. So it takes a lot of energy to get them out of that abyss. And that's where disasters come from. I know this sounds crazy to some of you, but this is what goes on around us that we don't even know. That's why prayer is so important. They seek some body which they can enter and find expression to carry out their mission of evil. That's who they're inclined to be. Now, demons delight to use human lips or pen to do their dirty work. Their choice power to defile, to destroy, and to lead astray is through the use of human instrumentalities, instruments. So God must use human instruments anointed by the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, to bless, to inspire, to encourage, to lift, and those who need his divine help, called divine appointments. And you know the Holy Scriptures? They were written by holy men of God who were moved upon by the Spirit of God. The only way that could happen was because they were obedient. The message of good news or the gospel is reported by human lips. So God desires to use his children, use human instruments. It was supposed to be the Jews at the beginning, but now fell upon the time of the Gentiles. But he wanted to use human instruments to minister to the human family. However, and likewise, Satan uses human instruments to destroy the human family. Everything from humanism to holidays, education, politics, religion, science, philosophy. Actually, seven areas, to tell you the truth. And each one of those has a specialty, fallen angel, to control it. I've got all this documented. This is not something I'm making up. You know, it seems kind of pitiful, actually, that man should yield himself to the devil. Adam did. Other people do. I did. But they yield themselves to devil as a medium through which their own human brotherhood should be destroyed. That's when you take a blood oath to the Freemasons. And the lower level Masons don't know this. They don't understand. Highest level, they do. And how often is it that Satan uses some vile man or woman to defile an innocent boy or girl? Then sends that boy or girl out to do the missionary work into public schools, colleges, to defile the minds of others who are innocent. Family, you're not going to like this, but I'm going to tell you anyway. The royal secret of the Freemasonry at the 33rd degree, only a third of them know. The royal secret is to defile a young boy or a girl child or some abomination that Mason does at that high level. And when they do that, God's Spirit removes himself from it, from the instrument, the Freemason, the Shriner, whatever. And they become possessed of a nature. And they change. And that possession is a result of the defiling. You see, and they call it the royal secret. It also allows certain ones at the Pentagon, MK Ultra, other places, Tavistock, to have remote viewing, automatic writing, and so forth. I may talk about that tomorrow night in more detail, but I want to give you a taste of it right now. This is what's going on. This is real stuff. This is not, some philosophical mumbo jumbo. It's about physics, biology, chemistry, physical principles that affects our lives in sickness, torment, arguments, fights that you don't know why, getting fired from the job, changes of behavior of your boss, of your wife, of your husband. Family, this is all supernatural. And a lot of times you'll find out if you check four generations back, you'll find that you had a family member in the Wicca or a family member in the Freemasons or attended a seance or something like that that invited the demon to your home. And they're there to stay and trying to get one out. Well, if you got demons there, and this is not TV. They put it in TV to minimize it, make it cute, make it scary. Oh, I went to a movie. But it's real. But trying to get the demons out of your home, literally, or your body, the strong man, it's kind of like taking a long-tailed cat and trying to drag him backwards on carpet. He don't want to let go. Well, that's a strong man. He's got his claws dug into that carpet. You see, what happened in the flood? God took his people out because there's no one righteous, not one. What happened at Sodom and Gomorrah? God took them out. Couldn't find one righteous. What did God do for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Nebuchadnezzar said, I see if one in there looks like the Son of God. How do you know that? How do you know? He didn't know the Son of God. That was Old Testament anyway. Because the Spirit told him. I put three and I see four. They weren't burned. God protected them. What about Daniel? What about the Christians in the Colosseums? He brought them home. And their death started a conversion in the stands. And I was told this is not something that I discovered. It was someone that somebody told me. So not something I found myself, but someone's knowledge, a close friend of mine, discovered something that I wasn't aware of that really tied the dots for me, was a little monk by the name of Telemachus. I knew that Constantine came in to stop the slaughter of Christians because people were converting in the stands. In 325 on AD, in the Council of Nicaea. So about 70-something, they still were doing it. But I guess the straw that broke the camel's back was Telemachus in January of 4004 AD. He was either stoned by the crowd or killed by a gladiator. It's not sure what. But he wanted to stop the killing, and he ran out into the Colosseum and was run through and killed by a gladiator. And by that act, the Holy Spirit woke people up, and it wasn't fun to kill Christians anymore. And then the Emperor Honorius outlawed it. See, Constantine came in and said, I'm Christian. I mean, he lied. He's a pagan. He wanted to get the Christians on his side. That's where Christianity was born. Uh-huh. Then you sort of get into Semiramis, and you get into Tammuz, and all that. You see how they control the Christians now? Satan's been a busy, busy boy. Because he knows his time's short. Family of the rapture, nobody knows when it's going to be. You got Christians arguing, pre-trib, mid-trib. How do you argue something you don't even know when it's going to be in the first place? Oh, you're one of those pre-tribbers, aren't you? It's like, okay, all pre-tribbers over here in the back of the bus, all you post-tribbers in the middle, and all you mid-tribbers, you know, it's like it separates Christians. Isn't Satan just a genius? Yeah? Well, I'll tell you, that genius is going to land him in hell. That's what hell was created for. Uh-huh. But everything from feminism to education, everything, has been controlled through secret societies, witchcraft, or otherwise. Preachers aren't preparing people for this. But their rapture is to take people out that believe in Jesus Christ and leave the wicked on earth. Now, I don't get into dates, times, or even positions. I just know he protects those, and those that are born again are not subject to the wrath of God. But persecution, he tells us, is coming. Persecution is there to strengthen you. How many times a parent has told you, or you told your children, whatever, I'm punishing you not because I don't love you, because I love you, I'm punishing you. It's like, huh? What's that? Because you're trying to make the kids understand. And if you don't, you become a facilitator. And not a disciplinarian. And then you get into whether the husband is or the wife, and that's another story. I'm not going there. I know that's a rabbit trail I'd probably head down, but I'm not today. That's about feminism, and I'm going to cover that next week about how feminism, I'll take 2 hours and talk to you how they have corrupted our home life and our families through feminism and many other ways. It's really sneaky what they've done. Not today. Learning how to understand the rapture is one thing, but learning how to understand the rapture in a healthy way is even more important. If you look into all the things that you got to know about the rapture, it's almost as if there's a list of things to know, and the list doesn't end. It causes frustration, confusion, separation. You got Christians unfriending, Christians getting kicked out of service, all kinds of things going on because you don't agree with the rapture or pre-trib, mid-trib, when really the argument is not even worth arguing about. Because nobody knows. How do you argue about something you don't know about? You just know you're going to be protected. You're not appointed to wrath, but it always going to take us up. Actually, rapture is English for rapture, which is Latin for hapizo. Hapizo is the gathering together. In Latin's rapture, and in English is rapture. That's where they get it from. LaHaye, who's definitely the enemy, I'm sorry, but he is. He's a member of the Council of National Policy, Freemason, and has a pre-trib rapture, so they're a suspect. Speculation. What if? What if there is a fake pre-trib rapture that they're all pushing? LaHaye, Lindsay, a couple others. And it's a orchestrated pre-trib rapture, but by technology, holograms, alien abduction, you might say, and these were taken off the earth, and all the others have yet to learn. Can you imagine a fake pre-trib rapture and Christians who think they're born again are not taken? Ho-ho. And this alien, Jesus fake, called Yeshua, shows up in disclosure and says he's here to teach us, so now we'll be able to be taken up for the next evolution of man. That sounds like a falling away to me. And Christians will fall away like wheat in a windstorm if that was to happen. And that would be the reason why LaHaye and Lindsay and all the rest of them are promoting a pre-trib rapture. What if, for example, why would God pull out all those that are at least speaking the word of God and maybe martyrs? Why would he pull them early? What's left? The wicked, so to speak. Who's going to preach to them before the sixth or seventh seal? Mm-hmm. Because at the sixth or seventh seal comes out the 144,000 and the two witnesses. Oh, and that angel flying overhead there, let me tell you what. So that means the church is taken away. And all is left is the wicked for the trumpet judgment. Mm. First, there is the 21 judgments to come upon the earth. 7 seals, 7 trumpets, and 7 bowls. So how does a seal and a bowl actually play in the rapture? pretty weird, huh? Now, learning about the rapture and talking about it, it's not easy. It's difficult. It's like to say talking about cloning. But in our life, we like to think back on it. And learning about the rapture is really not pleasant because you're always wondering, well, you start thinking, it begs the question, am I going to be one of them or have I done the right thing? Maybe I won't be raptured. Oh. So it brings on a negative response. Or if someone knows they're born again, I'm going to be raptured and you're not. Na-na-da-boo-boo. No, that's not the way you look at it either. Learning about the rapture kind of becomes an addiction. You know, it happens to almost anyone who's learning about the rapture. It's learning about the rapture becomes obsessive. Maybe. You get a false sense of security. I don't have to do that because I'm going to be raptured out of here. I'm gone. Oh, I'm going to have fun now. No, don't work that way. It can be very dangerous as a Christian, getting obsessed with the rapture. Or non-believer's life, who's learning about the rapture. And during the stage of this learning about the rapture, a person can lose faith and even turn away from God, get mad at him. You see, while learning about this rapture, humans tend to do something that Jesus Christ has told us was impossible to do. We always get so far into learning about this rapture thing that we eventually begin to guesstimate the exact timing of the rapture. Does four blood moons come to mind? They got books written about it. Man, grown-ups like Hagee and all the rest of them, Freemasons, most of them, others are just falling in line with the New Age teaching, making a lot of money about the rapture because they're making money off of people's fear. I want to know exactly when I'm going to be raptured so I can sin and do whatever I want to until that point. Then I'll get serious, okay? Or everybody's drawn to the fear like a moth to the flame. So they capitalize on that fear. Send the guilt out. You're not appointed to wrath. But if you're worried about it, I would take that as a red flag. But Jesus Christ simply says, but of that day and hour, no man knows, nor do the angels of heaven, only the Father knows. So everyone agrees to disagree on the timing of the rapture. So then why spend 2-hour lecture and making money off of CDs and books and so forth and being an expert when you can't tell them when it is? I could do a lecture of the rapture. Charge $5. I have all the answers. I'm selling CDs. Everybody drives from California. They come in from, I don't know, Indiana and I don't know, Florida, and everybody comes in. Tom knows the answer. We're all going to go there. $5 is all it is. Okay, they all get there. I walk in this big auditorium. Yeah. And I say, okay, I can tell you about the rapture. Everybody's sitting there. Yeah. Well, everybody's waiting. Matthew 24:36. Only the Father knows. But of that day and hour, no one knows, nor the angels of heaven. Only the Father knows. Okay, any questions? Now, after I'm tarred and feathered, hung up by my toes, I better have that money in Switzerland. That took about, 5 seconds to tell you about the rapture? It's very simple. Nobody knows. Just be ready for it. We get so lost in finding the exact timing of the rapture, we forget to do what's the true purpose in life. Tell everyone you personally can tell about God's grace offered to us by Jesus Christ? What's to tell about the rapture? Don't worry about the rapture. Worry about the rapture is not born again. Not worry about it. Being born again is the important part. We're so consumed and confused by the desire of knowing about the time that this happens that we forget to tell others about that which is to come. You know, what you're studying on, the rapture. There's a lot of confusion that rises about learning about the rapture. When you take a different approach, there's a right way and a wrong way to learn about it. The wrong way causes us to be tired in our soul and body, even damage the faith, cause you to burn out. Ecclesiastes 12, I always have a hard time saying that word. 12:13. Says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. So I could add that and maybe not get tarred and feathered. I don't know. Ecclesiastes 12:14. That's what it is about right there. The right way is to know and learn what you only need to know and learn about the rapture. The rest is God's business, not ours. Understanding who the rapture affects. The rapture affects every single person. You got to realize this yourself, that the rapture will impact every soul and being ever created by God, and the dead in Christ and dead without Christ. Understanding what it is. Well, the rapture is an event based on 1 Thessalonians 4:14 and more. If you look that up, in 1 Thessalonians 4:14, and I wonder what I was going to talk about in the rapture tonight. I don't think it's been a problem so far. 4:14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You see, there's three of you. That's why we say y'all in down south to one person. Here you go. You got one person. Some Yankee comes down here to Mount Airy to see about Andy Griffin. And they say to you, why you and this say y'all to just one person? And you look at that boy and say, boy, let me tell you why we say y'all to just you. Because there's three of you. And he's going to say, you had too much moonshine, son? I'm going to say, no, sir. I'm going to say, what about this? I said, I see your body. I'm going to hold up one finger. That's one. Then I know you got a soul. I hold up one finger, and I got two fingers. I say, you got a spirit connected to God. I'm going to hold up another finger. I said, that's three. Now, when I graduated out of seventh grade, I know three is plural, and that means you all, three. Now, if you got a family here, I'd have to say all y'all. Oh, that's so silly. But you see what I'm talking about here. There's three of you. And that one, that's the body, goes in the ground and turns to, yep, you got it, dust. That's asleep. But your soul goes to heaven, or if you're not born again, your soul goes to torment in hell. Let's just call it for what it is. And the soul is your personality and character in energy form. And it separates you from all the other spirits is your soul. Because the spirit is in the image of God. And your soul is your personality, your character, and you in energy form, taking this vehicle called a body that's asleep in the ground. And I couldn't explain that again in a million years, but hope you got that. That's how it works. And the next time that y'all come together, as a judgment seat of Christ, is when that body joins up with you. So, hello, body, where you been? But it's glorified. And the three come together. Because the body has been translated in the supernatural form. I'm going to say it. The frequencies were changed. The body, what if I was cremated? Oh, please. If God can create Adam and Eve from nothing, he can bring your body back together anytime he wants to. Well, if my head's cut off, he's going to put it back there. It's going to be glorified. It's going to be as you really are. Here's where the frequency changes come in. You won't have blood running in your veins, but you'll have a body of flesh and bone. Not flesh and blood. Flesh and bone. That's very, very important. The word rapture is not found in the Bible. And the word Bible is not found in the Bible. And the word Trinity is not found in the Bible, but you find them still there. But not the words. The word rapture was coined from the Latin rapio, or rapire, meaning to portray the experience of being snatched away. That's what's going to happen one day as soon as the people of God disappear from the earth and immediately meet Jesus Christ to stand at the judgment seat. And Satan knows this. That's why you see these movies. What is it? How's it go? Beep, beep. Scotty, beam me up. How about those movies, War of the Worlds, sucking people up off the ground? Now you see, Satan has to explain what he sees going to happen. But he don't know when, because no man or demon knows the day or the hour. Now, Satan has no wisdom nor discernment, but he has a lot of knowledge. Who has wisdom and discernment? You do. And why? Because you're in the image of God, the Spirit of God. So you have connection to God, right? Yes. Okay. So you can't have evil residing with good. The Spirit of God's in you, evil can't come in. However, if Satan can get you to put a spell on yourself, allows a portal to open, through sin, a demon can come in, and that way, that demon can hopefully find out what the wisdom discernment might be. Now you get the bigger picture. That's where the lust comes in. That's where the witchcraft. That's where making things like tooth fairy and all this sort of thing and drugs and meditation and any way he can to open up a portal, rock and roll music, anything he can, CDs, DVD, whatever, to open up a portal. I just love reading horoscopes. There you go. You see, they can make that come true. When you go to a horoscope reading thing kind of going on or a fortune teller and that you've given permission for demons to act, and you say, fortune teller says, oh, you're going to meet a nice, you know, whatever. The demons can maneuver life ahead of you to make that happen. It's no big deal. And they can do that because you've given permission to them to act. Check it out. This is how it works. By giving permission. For example, when that fortune teller, and Irene Parks was a witch, and she became, there's a book out called, it's pretty old, but it's called The Witch That Switched. When that fortune teller or remote viewer from the Pentagon has these abilities, becomes a born-again Christian, guess what? They lose that ability. they lose that ability. Because they got that ability and that strength from a demon. So now, unless you already know, you'll understand this verse, the massive impact of this verse. Oh, I guess I'll tell you the verse. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Now understand. Matthew 7, 21 to 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. That's clear. 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils? In thy name done many wonderful works? Oh. So do you think that God would have blessed these people if they were living in iniquity? No. So, okay, but that begs the question, then how are they able to do that? Through Satan. That's why you have priests, witch doctors, rainmakers and all this sort of thing that's able to cast out demons or make it rain, this kind of thing, because there's a cooperation between the demonic realm and the priest to exorcise that demon. To give power to that priest then from then on to preach that heresy that they do. The same thing with witch doctors. The same thing in Kundalini. The same thing in Protestant churches where they do the speaking of tongues that you don't have a clue what they're saying. Or they're doing the holy laughter, holy drunkenness, and all that stuff. That's the Spirit talking to you. No, it's not. But it felt good. It felt like it felt. That's the problem. It feels. Not coming from God. Alberto Rivera, a Jesuit priest that was murdered by the Jesuits when he went rogue on them, confirms that there's a cooperation between the demonic realm and the priest that's doing the exorcism to give the Roman Catholic Church the power. Family, the Roman Catholic Church murdered 50 to 68 million people from 1200 to 1800 AD. The Roman Catholic Church, the Vatican, murdered 70 to 100,000 French Huguenots in August of 1574, the St. Bartholomew Massacre, in 1 week. The Ustasha, Roman Catholic troops, Ustasha, in 1941 to 43, I believe it was, murdered 750,000 Serb Orthodox Christians, 60,000 Jews, and 26,000 gypsies in one concentration camp called Jasanovic. One. And the SS troops were horrified. Family, get out of religion and get with Jesus. It's not about religion, man. Get out of religion and get with Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. Anyway, Matthew 7, 23. 22. Let's do that again in context. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And thy name cast out devils? And thy name done many wonderful works? 23. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Whew. Gnashing your teeth, let me tell you what. That's not good to see people being fooled. That day is coming. That day is coming. That's the rapture. Why does the rapture occur? The rapture occurs for two reasons. God is pulling his children out of the world that will be darker and deadlier than any other period in every time of history. The second reason for the rapture is for Jesus Christ to gather his saints for the great battle, Armageddon. The same battle Satan is gathering for his troops for. And family, it's not China, it's not Russia. They're a transhumanized Nephilim army. Stem cell research, cloning, you got it now. Demonic realm, taking bodies of Nephilim to fight the return of Jesus. These preachers out here are trying to tell you Armageddon is now. They're trying to tell you it's Gog and Magog. They can't make up their mind which. What in the world's going on? What do they teach them in theology school? Thank God I never went to one. If that's what they're teaching them. Armageddon is between Jesus Christ himself and this demonic realm. And it's not going to be saints having swords like in, you know, in Star Trek or something. Or Battlestar Galactica. It's going to be them behind Jesus, and Jesus will give a command. And just like in the days of Noah, the evil will slay the wicked. They will fight each other to death. Psalms 34:21. There it is. And the evil shall slay the wicked. He will cause them to fight each other. You got these preachers and evangelists out here saying, Joel's army, we're God's army. We're going to fight. Give me a. He's not going to use M16s. You got to be kidding me, man. What are you going to do with an M16 or M4? A butt stroke, an angel? Give me a break. Oh, yay. Family, I don't know what these people are thinking. But they're lying to a lot of people, selling books for nothing. There's only one book. That's King James Bible. Go buy you one if you don't got one. I don't sell them. Did I just say that? They don't have one. Not if you don't got one. Anyway, that's why the rapture occurs. God's pulling his kids out. And the rapture is for Jesus Christ to gather his saints for the great battle of Armageddon. Now, when it says the dead in Christ shall rise first, 1 Thessalonians 4:16 states that, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it states that one of the most confusing facts about the rapture, actually, the Bible tells us that the dead shall rise first. And to someone that's just beginning to read the Word of God or learn something about the rapture, the statement can be kind of confusing. The dead shall rise first. The dead, they're already dead. See, when the human flesh, and I explained this already, when a human dies in the flesh, the spirit lives on. The spirit's connected to the soul. We are eternal creatures. Those in hell now will be pulled out of hell, of torment, after the 1,000 years at the great white throne judgment, only long enough to be judged for eternity. And they're back where they were, except in the lake of fire or in other degrees of punishment. For eternity. There's no time and a half and all that. The ones who died while in relationship with Jesus Christ are said to be resting. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. And that's where you get rest in peace. Christian waits and rests, but for Jesus Christ to implement the rapture. And for the ones who died without making a choice, some are tormented continuously. Some are stuck in time, reliving maybe their past last moments. I don't know. Those who committed suicide. Ironically and sadly, they commit or continue to kill themselves. I heard this before. I don't know. That they relive that time. I don't know. But they do it allegedly from different schools of thought I've read or studied before until the judgment day. Now, most of the dead without Jesus simply roam around. They're called simples. They have no face, as if the face had been smeared, and simple can be seen easiest during the dead hour between 3 and 6 a.m. You know, I hear this. They could be allowed to do this. These ones called simple. They have no purpose left any longer unless they're being used in witchcraft or spells or alchemy practices. They can't affect much, but are responsible for familiar spirits and hauntings worldwide. I can't confirm this, but this is what I read in different places. Your RFID tattoo, the mark of the beast, is certainly a stopper. It connects to your soul. And the Antichrist. Understanding the rapture cannot be done without understanding who the Antichrist is and what his characteristics are. Look up the 46 prophecies of the Antichrist. He appears strongly after the rapture, shows himself to be Savior. He can't appear without the rapture. In the midst of all the chaos and confusion to come out of the rapture, the world will look for a leader or a guide to get him through these times. And the Bible says that the world will cling to the Antichrist. He'll fix everything. So we're going to have a fake before, it looks like. And our own personal beliefs is that the Antichrist, would that be interesting if it was a woman? Wouldn't that be an interesting concept? Doesn't say who it is. But it does say a man, doesn't it? So it could be a man. I'm not going to be dogmatic on that. I'd be foolish to be so. There's 46 prophecies you can look at, and he's got to fill all of them. They are turning everything toward the woman to be the head, the woman to be in control. They're changing DNA. All that's part of this, to reverse everything that God did. The man's supposed to be head of household. Ironically enough, I had a bout this morning for about an hour back and forth about the man head of household and the woman subservient. But the man treats a woman like Jesus Christ would treat the church. I mean, you know, I find it interesting that I'm going to bring it up again tonight. His or her powers would be great, and they will perform many miracles, and they'll cause the world to implant a mark on the forehead or the right hand. The mark is called the mark of the beast. We've been outfitted for it since currency ever began. And the digital tattoo, that technology goes back to the 1960s. And it does consume your soul with ELF transmission, you understand? I've explained that before. I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail today. They have a machine called the Beast, computer machine, said to implement the mark where no man can buy or sell without it. It could be pushed into society using terrorism and this chip. Tattoo is what it's turning out to be. Also, in the rapture, understanding the signs of times is also very important. How close the rapture is by knowing the signs of the times will give you an idea of the season, maybe. So, to increase the mode of alertness, explosion in the knowledge of the world, false Christs and false prophets, wars and rumors of wars, worldwide hunger, earthquakes and divers in many places. You know, they can cause earthquakes and weather anomalies. Massive through HAARP. There's a lot of born again. There's a lot of Christians out there that don't believe this. Only God controls the weather. No, no. God allows it to be controlled by technology. A lot of disasters are created by technology, supernatural whiz bang smoke and mirrors. And then you're Pat Robinson, who's a 33rd degree Mason, and everybody else blames it on God. God did it. Well, no, it didn't. God didn't do it. Satan did it, and sin allowed it. God didn't do it. God don't do things small way. You want to blame something on God, you blame the first trumpet. That comes judgment. Now, that's all God. And you don't need harp, neither, because you're not going to have harp. Harp will be dust. Buildings will be dust. That's from the sixth seal, which is that earthquake. First trumpet, that's God's judgment. Look out. Worldwide hunger, earthquakes in diverse places, pestilence. It's all created by Satan. Evil spirits, which control cults and false religions, will be revealed. That's when you want to know the name of Jesus. Not Yeshua, not Jeshua, not Yahweh. Jehovah's his name. And Jesus Christ is his name, of the only begotten Son of the living God. What to look for? Many men will be lovers of themselves, covetous, boastful, brags on themselves, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, as homosexual. Freemasons, you've taken a blood oath to lie. So you can't say a word about homosexuality. Lying is just as bad if you want to judge. False accusers. You ever seen how Freemasons can ruin a man? I got a list of how they do it. I got like a 3-page documentary on how Freemasons ruin a person's career and life. I got the details. Incontent, drunkenness, gluttony. Where are you going, Tom? Oh, I'm going down to the beach. What are you going to do? I want to get on that contest of all you, all the chicken legs you can eat. You are? Yeah, I'm going to join it. Yeah. Win me a t-shirt. You know what that is, really? It's a ritual, satanic ritual for gluttony. That's what it is. That's what it's for. What sense does it make to have one in the first place? It don't really. So what do they really do it for? And televise it too sometimes. And ritualize it. It is a ritual for gluttony. Isn't that tricky? Deviant sex, drugs, fierce despisers of those who do good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Jezebel, Ahab, men and women, having a form of godliness but denying the power of God. 2 Timothy 3:1-5. How about gold and silver? I need to buy as much gold as you can have. On my website, you're going to, you know. James 5:1-3. I hate to bust your bubble. When they buy all that gold up, I couldn't sell the gold when I was on another network. They kept trying to get me to do that. I just kind of avoided it and kind of scratched my head a little bit and say, well, but I never could do it. I couldn't bring myself to do it because I know that when they buy all that gold, they go use it because they're going to confiscate it. It's illegal to sell it in the time of depression or, time of martial law. They're not telling them that. I know it happens. It happened. It's happened all along. It's outlawed. You can't use it. And they confiscate it for the country, for the republic or whatever. They're not telling the people that. So I just left it alone. James 5. Go to now, you rich men. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered. And the rust of them shall be a witness against you and shall eat your flesh as with fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Man, that Bible's got everything covered. I'm going to tell you what. Scoffers marking the second coming of Jesus Christ. Ooh, 2 Peter 3:3-4. Lethargy and indifference to God's people, in God's people. Invention of the atom bomb. If you go to 2 Peter, 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth shall also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. I don't know. Don't sound like no party to me. Jerusalem under Jewish control. Luke 21:24. And there will be distress among the nations, and hearts failing for fear, because eyes will be opened. So that's a basic knowledge and information about the event of the rapture. Thousands of humans disappear. Satan has to be prepared for that, or he'll fake it at the very beginning. Who or what will render this blame for this? Look forward to the one of team. Be on the team of God through Jesus Christ. There's your rapture. I see to it a different way than explaining, well, we got four blood moons and there's no blood moons. And how is it people making money off these books when there's no such thing? You got one moon that turns red with blood. And I tell you exactly where it's at. Can't tell you when, but I'll tell you where. Revelation 6, verses 12 to 17. Done. Sun's black as sackcloth, and the moon appears as blood. So they're trying to put a squirt. Now, can they make it happen? Sure. They use their false prophecies, a little whiz-bang smoke and mirrors, and supernatural this, that, and the other. They can produce it. The fake. All kinds of ways, but I'll tell you what. When the Antichrist is appearing and the falling away begins, the time frame of 7 years begun. The first 3.5 years is four horses apocalypse. Fifth seal is souls on the altar, those that take Jesus Christ as Savior has, and die for it. But when you die, absent from the body is present with the Lord. What's the problem? And the sixth one is that great earthquake. The fallen angels will fall into earth here. And the ones in under darkness will be released on earth. It's not going to be pretty, because the first trumpet is judgment on everybody. That means the church ain't going to be here. Or you'll be protected, something or another. And from first trumpet on, 3.5 years later, here comes Jesus. And the transhumanized military, transhumanized army, super soldiers will destroy themselves. And Jesus will sit on the throne for 1,000 years. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, he'll release Satan for a short while, because Satan was chained in utter darkness. He'd be released for a short season, because those in 1,000 years were never afforded, never given the opportunity to be tempted, because Satan was chained. He wasn't able to go around to cause people division. So now there's ones that lived in peace with Jesus at the throne in Jerusalem, physically there, and the saints ruling throughout the world, people reproducing, things going on, no technology. God's not bringing UFOs down here with ray guns and Fred Flintstone going on, flying around in your spacecraft. It ain't going to happen. So you're going to go back to the way it used to be with, you know, tilling the fields and worshiping God and helping each other. People aren't thinking about this the way it really is. They got Fred Flintstone in their mind as past, and they got George Jetson as future. No, sir. It ain't going to happen. And some of them's already paid money. Well, maybe I should sell them the oceanfront property in Arizona if they bought some flag or some trip to Mars under a dome. Oh, and in Venus, the dome, they got. The people actually believe this. They're freezing their bodies cryogenically to wake them. They're going to wake up in front of the Savior is what they're going to do. Their souls go to hell, and their bodies going to go there with them. When it's, oh, man. I'm getting excited. You know, this family, You got to pray. You got to talk to people. You got to hope the Holy Spirit runs interference for you. And that they're going to come to you now, y'all. They're going to come to you. And they're going to say, I want to know now what you know. Okay? You got to start learning how to lead someone to Jesus. And you got a big 6'6", 250-pound man crying his eyes out because he wants to, you know, he wants to be born again. Man, it's on your plate. What are you going to do? You know? You got to lead him to Jesus. And you got another one come up. Here comes 5. Here comes 10. You're in the FEMA camp. You're on your way to the chambers. What are you going to do? Lead them all to Jesus. That's what you're going to do. Say, Jesus, I'm coming home. Whoa, here I go. You see? It's coming. This lifetime, I don't know. Next month, I don't know. But it's going to come when it comes. When it does, get to work. If it don't, enjoy your life. Lead others there. Take care of yourselves. But stop the worrying, man. All this controlled opposition causes everybody to worry. Fear. FEMA here, FEMA there. I don't know, all this stuff going on. Worrying about little dots on your mailbox because they're going to come get you. Oh, for goodness sakes, take the dot off. It makes you feel better. Ay, 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 man. We're at the end, family. Y'all. Well, I hope you got something out of tonight and stirred some thinking up. Had a lot more to go, actually. Tell you the truth. Tomorrow, 4 to 6, we'll continue on. And we'll send this week's archives out shortly. And I'll have this one downloaded tonight, later. Uploaded, whatever, I don't know, loaded up, something. Anyway, y'all can use it if you want to. I'll let y'all remind you to know that we are played out at randomly at highpointradio.net. That's all it is. He plays our broadcasts, our Bible studies. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R. And he plays our broadcasts and Bible studies at New York, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. So that's all he does for us. And what I do is, in return for that, I let you know that he's there and let you know that he needs some sponsors. He does. Not me. I have nothing to do with it. Nothing whatsoever. Zero. But he is a good man, and he's a friend, and he's building his network, and there you go. And check it out. And KBLU Radio at Colorado plays a simulcast. KBLU Radio, Blue Raven Network. My website is watchmanforjesus.com. My Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. And we're up to like 2,000 likes, or whatever that means. But anyway, 2,000 likes or something. We started off at 20, and it just pew, went on. Lord, we thank you tonight for bringing us together in this Bible study. Thank you, Father, that you gave us this network. We can still continue with our broadcasting and with our Bible studies. Lord, we call upon you to send that Holy Spirit down, touch all hearts, Lord. Bring families together. Help our troops, our veterans, Father, to get off of these pills and get off this and stop those voices they have in their head, Lord. Because it's all about technology. Lord, protect the children that's coming up and those, Father, that especially this next couple of weeks, that if things happen, Father, events that occur that results in tragedies, Father, you'll be there for the families and gather together. Father, those support for those that's going to be in tragedy situations. Protect the children that's going to be used for sacrifice, Lord, to get them out of there or bring them home to you. Lord, we pray for tomorrow for the broadcast, the Bible study, and Lord, for protection of the blood of Jesus around us. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, family, we're at the end of it right now. And I appreciate y'all stopping by. We had a pretty good crowd tonight. I appreciate y'all coming by. I know you didn't leave any coffee cake and any milk and coffee cake or coffee. That's all right. I don't have to worry about parking problems. I just get on the radio. Don't have to worry about zoning. And we got a Bible study. Voila. God works in mysterious ways, I tell you what. I would never have been able to put this thing together. That's all I can do to use a computer nowadays, but I started sort of learning. But this thing's put together like a lunar module. I mean, it's got all kinds of stuff. I had to learn how to use all this stuff. I did. Obviously, I'm here. But it just happened to work out. It's amazing how God works. And otherwise, I've never had this. The family, I'll tell y'all something. No matter what they do, no matter what they come up with, they lose. But family, I pray for those that are on the wrong side. That, Father, that they'll come to get to know the truth. That's what it's all about. And you know how they do it? It's by the power of the blood of Jesus. That's how.
Could you be free from your burden of
this is the Watchman signing off. See y'all tomorrow and God bless. Hallelujah.
Would you hold even a victory to win? There's wonderful power in the blood.
Laura White. There's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood. One of the old-timey greats. Y'all have a good night. This is Watchman signing off. God bless.